Welcome back. It's Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock tonight. Right now, we go out to the Rude Guest Hotline for the second time this show, where we find our guy, J.P. Finley, who you can hear weekdays 10 to 2 right here on 106.7 The Fan. You can also check him out on NBC Sports Washington as well. J.P., appreciate you making some time for us, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. Are you still the youngest in charge?
About
30, isn't he younger?
See, there's the in charge part is what's key, JP.
I like that. You be you. You be you, big
You know what I'm saying? So we're about a week away from training camp starting. Yesterday, you all were out at the Eastern's Automotive Shoot. Obviously, a great event that happens every year. This time, a little overhang with that event because Terry McLaurin using that opportunity to spew out his side of these contract negotiations to the media. I was talking to you off air before. Understand just how difficult contract negotiations actually get. It's tough. It's why people hire agents, because you don't want to fray those personal relationships. Putting your guesstimation cap on right now, JP, where do you think the relationship is at right now between Terry and the organization?
I mean, he said it's not in a good place right now. I think when he came to OTAs and, you know, was there working out with the guys, he really thought this thing would get done. Yeah. Obviously, it hasn't. But I think more importantly, perhaps, like, I asked him point blank, like, you know, is this a point of no return or whatever? And he said no, but the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
I think there is space for things to, like, an eight-figure check will fix a lot of hurt feelings.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, dude, he's pissed. I think he's got a right to be pissed. I think, you know, there's ways of, like, controlling messaging on both sides that maybe could be done better.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're about to be at training camp. Like, now, if deadlines drive deals, like, this is the time, right?
Right.
So I think whether they're that far apart or not, I am still trying to remain pretty calm about this. Like,
mm-hmm.
you see these kinds of things all the time. The difference is, in Washington, there's a serious emotional investment in Terry McLaurin, because all he's done since he was drafted in the third round is be great. And for the bulk of his time where he was great, everything else was bad. And he said all the right things, did all the right things, performed on the field, worked hard, was a leader. And so, for like, there's this emotional attachment to Terry that doesn't exist for a ton of players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah. If you're Adam Peters and the organization, like, one, you were only here for one of Terry's years, right? So
yep.
You weren't here when everything was awful and he had to deal with it. And I want my football organizations to not react emotionally or be driven by what fans want. I want them to be very granular about details and to have a process and to go through it. So, like, it's this weird place where, I mean, I get a zillion tweets like, man, you got to pay Terry. Think about everything he's been through.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't be your driver for a good football team.
Right.
So it's a tough, I just think it's a really complicated situation.
Yeah.
I completely understand Terry's frustrations. But it's also the first time AP, DQ, Josh Harris even, like, it's the first time as a group in Ashburn they've gone through a really high-profile contract extension. And, you know, maybe they don't want next year for Laremy Tunsil or Frankie Luvu, whoever it is, like, to see, like, oh, well, I got to hold out minicamp and, you know, to have these press conferences. Like, I think they're trying to set their tone also. And I just think it's complex, man. And it's unfortunate that it's complex. Like, people love Luvu, right?
Right.
But if this was a year from now, if or even Tunsil, let's say Tunsil balls out this year, and then next year the contract talks get kind of messy, I don't think people would have the same emotional reaction that they're having with Terry. And I don't even think the player would have the same emotional reaction that Terry's having.
Yeah.
And So, I just think this is a layered, complex scenario.
Yeah, it's very, very delicate thing to try and balance there. These are real people. These are real relationships and real emotions that are, kind of being put out in the public right now. What did you make of the fact that the two sides haven't spoken over a month and a half? I'll tell you what it meant to me. What it meant to me is that AP and company have their deal on the table, and Terry, kind of how I was looking at it. Am I jumping the gun with that, or do you pick up what I'm putting down?
You're saying
the fact that they haven't spoken in a month and a half, like it's that Washington's has their offer on the table. Terry, obviously, not okay with it. But why hasn't Washington provided a counteroffer? I guess we don't know that, but that's kind of how I'm reading the situation.
Standard business operations, like if I submit an offer, it's then on you to counter it. I'm not going to just give you another one.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if that is the case, I'm not necessarily saying it is, but I'd be hard pressed to think if Terry's camp is really frustrated. I think it's pretty clear they are.
Yeah.
I find it very hard to believe they haven't at least gotten an offer. Whether they think that's too low, they have gotten one. So I think the communication thing can be taken a little too literally. You know what I'm saying? Like,
But even from a relationship standpoint, JP, like AP and company,
I get it.
You got to talk to the guy at least or send a text there.
Right. But like, what if there was a series of missed calls, right? Like they played phone tag. Like
he's been in Italy. That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like on the surface, you tell me they haven't talked in a month. That's bad. But there could be more to that.
Right.
And like, and does that mean he hasn't talked to the agent? Does that mean the agent is pissed and not wanting to return calls until a higher deal comes over? I mean, who knows? Like there's a lot of unknowns and you can speculate and I could make some like informed speculation, but like, again, this is not standard. Like, dude, free agency for agents and players, really pretty easy.
Yes.
Like, you go to the market, you get the offers, you get maybe the highest and then maybe the best team or the city you want to be at, and you try to play them off each other. That's why free agency, especially for players that have a market, happens immediately. This is not that. Like, Terry's under contract. Like, there's also the matter of, like, I'm guessing Terry wants this year's deal converted to guarantees. Like, that just happened to Debo,
But
like,
right.
Okay, but you make your deal's worth a lot more. So, like, there is no easy, like, every step of this. So, like, you probably got to work through the remaining year on the current deal. Then you got to work through the extension. Then you got to work through when and where that money's guaranteed.
Yeah.
And that's beyond the how much of it there is. And I just, all of those are questions.
So with all those things being on the table here, that it seems to me that there's a big gap between where they're at. How does not talking for a whole month and a half solve something like that? I wonder at this point, it feels like to me AP and company have dug their heels in and are not going to move off of the offer that they've already put up to Terry. And I now wonder how Terry and his camp react to that because there are options for him. He can hold out. It could drag into the season, but I wonder for Terry, like, is that really beneficial for you? I saw your tweet about an hour ago about trade requests throughout the NFL and how this is a standard part of these big-time, high-profile negotiations. Wouldn't be stunned at all if I see a Terry trade request come through. I also would be stunned if Adam Peters and company honored that request. What do you think about the trade front here?
I don't think it's really a plausible scenario. My point with that was not specific to Terry, but my point with that tweet was specific to a lot, almost all, yes. I would say, outside of like quarterbacks, most of these high-profile contract extensions, and keep in mind how much more complex extensions are than free agency deals, right? But like my point with that is they almost always get to a really ugly point, and then way more often than not, they get resolved and the dude re-signs with that team.
Yeah.
I mean, Lamar, Myles Garrett, I mean, these are the stars of the league. Both of them went all the way to the mud in their contract talks before it got resolved. So, like, I don't even think we're at the mud yet. Terry's upset.
Yes.
But he's not even officially saying he's not coming to camp. You know what I'm like? This is like, this is not in a good spot, but it
could be worse.
Yeah. Dude, I also, you gotta point out that, like, I think a hold in is quite possible here too. Mm-hmm. Where
can you get fined for that?
Not if you hold in.
Okay.
You get fined if you hold out.
Okay.
If he shows up and goes to meetings and doesn't practice and just hangs with his teammates, you don't get fined. If you don't show up, you get fined a lot. And the new CBA really stepped up those penalties. I think it's like $50 grand a day.
So JP, go ahead.
I just want to point out, mm-hmm. Terry is already, because he missed mini camp,
right,
and he held out of mini camp, those fines already exist, and those are real. So, like, you know, the money's a factor here, too.
For sure, and that's why I was like, well, if he didn't do the hold-in bit during mini camp in OTAs, why would he choose to do it for camp? Now, obviously, the fines in training camp, I believe you just said, are steeper than what you would receive for missing the mandatory mini camp, but it's just all fascinating. I'm surprised that it's gotten to this point, but I also am appreciative of what you said. Like, I want my general manager to be process oriented and to be process driven. And, you know, Terry's not the first and not the last negotiation they're going to deal with. So they're trying to set a precedent, like you mentioned. And it's unfortunate that Terry is kind of like a bystander in all of this, because he's the one being currently impacted. I want to move things to the football field here real quick, JP, if we can. On the offensive side of the football, if it is a situation where they are without Terry McLaurin for portions of camp and then maybe into the regular season, what's your confidence level in the guys behind him for this offense to kind of, you know, hit the ground running when the season starts?
I think you need to if Terry misses 2 weeks of camp, I don't think it impacts much of anything.
Right.
Right? Like, would you like him to get more work with Debo? Yes. But I don't think it will get to the regular season, but if you actually got to week one and you don't have Terry McLaurin, now maybe they make another move. You can't think of things in the current,
right, very,
know,
true,
bubble, right? Like last year, Noah Brown ended up their second leading wideout, and they added him after roster cuts. Like, yeah, things can always happen and change.
For sure.
It'd be hard to be too confident in that receiver room, because you've got Debo, but he's kind of a specialized, mm-hmm, different weapon. And then you have Noah Brown, and then you have Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane. You know, you got Michael Gallup hasn't played in a year. Like, I
didn't practice much either.
For sure. No. And then, but the counter to that is, mm-hmm, if you look at what they did last year with Diami, who had never really produced, Olamide Zaccheaus, who had produced in spots, like, I do have a tremendous amount of confidence in Cliff and in Jaden, mm-hmm, for their ability to manufacture offense elsewhere, running backs, tight ends. I mean, they're deep in the tight end room.
Yes.
Like, I do think, I mean, think about, like, a guy like Cole Turner.
Mm-hmm.
2 years
Who's
ago,
continued
we were
to
all
stick
excited
around
about that.
Yeah.
And now he's right? Like, I do think, because you have Cliff and really that whole offensive staff, I don't want to,
right,
like, Anthony Lynn deserves a ton of credit.
For sure.
Brian Johnson.
It's a,
like,
deep
a lot
crew
of people. But, yeah, but, like, the staff and then that quarterback, I think you can maybe manufacture some offense. But if you want to be the explosive Super Bowl contending team that they went out this offseason and added Laremy Tunsil and added Debo Samuel, like, if you want to be that group, you need Terry to be it.
Joined by our guy JP Finley, who you can catch weekdays 10 to 2 right here on The Fan with our guy Brian Mitchell. JP, how much do you think that's impacting the negotiations? Because that's kind of the lens that I was looking at it through for a second as well. It's like, well, hold on. Like, this offense showed you at times last year, like, we were complaining about Terry's lack of targets, and it's not like he wasn't getting targets and the offense wasn't moving. Do you think there is a philosophical, like, thought process that, like, hey, we don't really need a bona fide number one wide receiver in this offense per se because of the ball distribution and guys, there wasn't a guy that was, like, way ahead of the pack in terms of the target share. I will say this, though, to kind of counter what I just said. This was a group that kind of struggled to generate explosives last year, and Terry was that explosive play gadget for them.
Definitely, and maybe Debo helps you on the explosives. But
yeah,
if, if you get to the – now, Terry's targets and stuff were way down early. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you look at kind of that touchdown catch week three and on, that share jumped, except the stretch where Jaden was kind of hurt, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think this offense at its best has Terry. Maybe you can argue that the best quarterbacks are able to carry teams without true elite number one wide receivers. But I don't think you want to do that this early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
you don't have to.
Yeah, and right. Jaden's still on the rookie deal. Like, when Jaden starts making $90 million a year, maybe that calculus changes.
So there were only
three
games last year in which Terry McLaurin eclipsed 10 targets. So when you look at the other premier number one.
I hear you compare to the other premier number ones, mm-hmm. but, like, who ended the year with the most targets? I bet he was the wide receiver, not
yes.
necessarily the player, but the wide receiver that got the most targets by a decent margin.
For sure. I have to double check that, but I'm pretty sure that is the case. It's just something that I've always thought about with these negotiations when we got here. Like, would they look at, you know, some of the performances during the year where he wasn't featured in the offense and go, we can survive life without him. Like you said, it's a dangerous game to play, not one that I'd be playing this early. But it's interesting nonetheless. I want to ask you about Trey Amos as well, JP, whether or not you know whether or not he's going to participate because of the second-round contract thing that's happening around the National Football League. Does that concern you at all? And I've been under the belief from the get-go, JP, that he's going to have to beat out Jonathan Jones at the outside corner spot anyway. How do you view that cornerback room opposite of Marshon Lattimore?
I think that's a really big deal, honestly.
Yeah. If you can't practice, then, like,
not,
yeah.
Right. Like, I think he beats Jonathan Jones. I think Amos is a really good player. I think that's a really good draft pick. I think he's a starter for this team if this team is playing their best. That said, whatever's going – this isn't Amos specifically.
No.
Right? It's not like he's holding out.
Right.
All of these second-rounders are – I almost wonder if the league has to get involved. I don't know what happens here, but, like, the player I think he is really good. However, you can't have a rookie missing the first 2 weeks of camp.
No, you can't, especially when you got to get acclimated.
That's invaluable.
Yeah.
Right, totally. Like, in my mind, he starts opposite Lattimore and you let Mikey work back inside, and without missing a bunch of camp – I don't think that works.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It doesn't work till week six or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right, that's kind of how I was looking at it. Even without the second-round thing hanging over his head, I just think there's an adjustment period that happens for NFL corners, and we haven't seen him in pads yet, and he is a guy that was quite handsy in college, so you always worry about how that translates. I know sure. this. They brought back Jonathan Jones. They brought in Jonathan Jones and brought back Noah Igbinoghi as kind of like security blankets. I feel like they've got five corners, JP, that they're comfortable rolling out there based off of the new guys and then the incumbents. For Amos in particular, I think he could play as well. I think in the best form of this defense, the best version of this defense, he is starting opposite Marshon Lattimore. I just wonder, one, how much the contract looms, and then what type of adjustment period does he have to the next level?
Dude, great questions, for sure.
For sure.
I do think, I mean, if you think about last year, I think week one, Mike Davis and Manny Forbes were out there, right? Like, you gotta feel better than you did.
For sure.
By a pretty wide stretch. You need Lattimore healthy, though, and performing at the right level. Just real quick, I pulled mm-hmm. it up. So, Jaden only threw the ball last year 480 attempts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Terry got 117 targets. That I'm no math guy, but that's about 25% of the targets.
Yes.
And then Ertz got 91. Your next highest receiver targeted was OZ at 64. So now, is Terry not getting the 180 targets CeeDee Lamb gets? No. But, like,
it's up
that's
there.
A huge role in this offense.
Especially yeah. when you consider that's another thing that I expect to improve this year as well, is the volume of passes for Jaden. Think about this, JP. Like, I don't know where that ranked amongst the top signal callers in the NFL, but he damn near threw for 4,000 yards, and he had two games in which he really didn't even play, talking about Carolina and then the second Dallas game. So
That's another thing to keep into consideration as well. Real quick here, before we let you go, I'm going to ask you to put your bold prediction cap on. What do you think leads this team in sacks, JP?
I like that. Maybe Luvu. I think.
Yeah, 8.5 last year, I think, right?
Yeah, dude. I think they got a lot bigger on the line, so maybe Luvu doesn't have to be as much of a traditional linebacker in spots, mm-hmm. and he can be just like an actual pass rusher. I think Jordan McGee could play, and I think last year was a tough year because he was hurt a lot.
Yeah.
They're talking about having more three linebacker sets. I don't know. I kind of like Luvu there.
It's a good answer. Last year's pressure leader does return. That was Dorrance Armstrong, despite Dante Fowler leading the team with the quietest 10.5 sacks you'll ever see. JP, I appreciate
you. Who's yours? I know you like Gene Baptiste.
I'm a Javonte guy. I don't think he'll have the numbers. I think it could be one of the interior guys, whether it's Kinlaw, Payne, or Newton. I think it's going to be pass rush by committee. I don't know if they get a guy to double digits. I think the best order of business for them is if they have a bunch of guys in between 6 and 8 sacks, because they're going to roll with 8 guys that play every game. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Appreciate you as always, my man, for making some time for us. We'll catch up soon, man.
Of course.
That is JP Finley. Make sure you check him out on right here on The Fan, actually. 10-2 with our future Hall of Famer, Brian Mitchell, for B. Mitch and Finley. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more overtime next here on The Fan. Who joined us in the last segment? Always love catching up with him. Rare that we get to share the air here on 106.7 The Fan. But I want to read a tweet from my guy Josh Robbins of The Athletic. Wizards Summer League basketball comes your way about a half hour from now. And according to Josh Robbins, Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, Alex Saar, Trey Johnson, and Will Riley all out of tonight's Wizards Summer League game. And my question is, why? Why? I'm not trying to be overly critical. I get what the rest of the league is doing. The hell with that, though. How many games did we win last year? 17 games last year? Let these young cats go out and compete, man. It's not like they played with their hair on fire in the first two games that they played. And I get not wanting to have injury and all of that, but bump that, man. When you're trying to establish a culture and establish an identity, part of that fabric and that identity needs to be that you compete. What do the Commanders say? Anybody, anywhere, anytime? I hate the fact that Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, Alex Saar, Trey Johnson, Will Riley, all not playing. Have they arrived yet? Are they too good to play in the Vegas Summer League? I see Cooper Flagg getting shut down. He's the number one overall damn pick. VJ Edgecombe's playing through a thumb injury tonight. But our guys get to sit on the pine and do diddly squat. Come on, Wizards. Will Dawkins, I love you, brother. You're my man. But there's no reason these cats shouldn't be competing in Summer League, man. They played 2 games, and that was enough for you? Then clip that off, Metal Chris, and send that to Lou DiPietro. Visit 90 seconds. Because that's crazy to me. I don't get that at all. The hell are you not playing for? Let's bring some entertainment to the program. Athens in Annapolis wants to chime in. What's going on, brother, man?
I'm good, and I just...
I don't even know what you're about to say. I'm already laughing. What the hell are you about to say?
Well, does Terry want a tissue with his wine is what I got to say.
No, you didn't.
Because look, Linnell, here's the thing I told Chris, mm-hmm. you know, calling in. You know, they have a vision on how they want to build this team over the next few years. And I would love to see this team back in the NFC Championship game, but it's going to be damn hard to get back there with the schedule that we're playing. And listen, we are old and slow at linebacker, even though we have a leader at linebacker. We are improved in the secondary, but not at safety so much. Mm-hmm. We are very questionable at defensive end. We have an old but solid tight end at you know, and then the backup, you spent a second-round pick on him last year. You don't know what you're going to get. You're solid at running back, but not elite. They still have a lot of holes. They are very talent deficient still for the schedule they got to play this year. And I know that they're going to compete and play well, but listen, this guy got a $69, $70 million contract 3 years ago. He's sitting there talking about, I was here during the bad times. Well, you got paid during the bad times. You didn't cash your checks. You know, it's the same thing with John Allen. I feel bad.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was about to say, I get that. It's just my whole thing is this, Athan, and I get both sides of it. Negotiations are tough. I know you, someone that's been in the business world, like when you're negotiating contracts, the agent's talking to the team. Terry ain't talking to him at all because they're going to say things that can get nasty and misconstrued and all that. My thing is this, the market value for a number one wide receiver, a top half number one wide receiver, is $30 million and up. If they're coming to him with anything less than $30 million, I think it's bad negotiating tactics, man. Why would you risk? Think about the contracts that are about to come up. Tunsil's about to be due. Luvu's about to be due. I partially think they're setting a precedent, but you also could be setting the wrong precedent that you're not going to pay your dudes because Terry's worth it, man. And I'm not asking for 37. If he's asking for 30, 31, then I'm okay with that. But the hard part about talking about this is we don't know the weeds of all of this.
Well, and we're not going to, but the thing about it is, he said, the horse's mouth said the other day, I'm not backing off of my numbers. I'm not backing off of what I asked for. So maybe he's being the stubborn one because, listen, he's going to be 30, but this is going to be a competitive team over the next 4 to 5 years. Yes. And if he wants a shot at winning a championship, then maybe he does need to take a little bit less money. Because, look, I'll give you an analogy, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say they double your salary tomorrow, okay, and they give everybody at the station these massive raises. But then in 2 years, well, the market goes up another 10%. I mean, I know we're comparing apples to oranges, but still, you get my point. You get my point. It's like, when is it ever enough? Or like Mike Evans, for example, he took $24 million, but he wanted to stay in Tampa, and he sees them possibly winning a championship. That's a decision Mike Evans made. Let me ask you this. Do you think I feel sorry for a guy like Kirk Cousins who's whining about wanting to get out of Atlanta, and they dude got $100 million to play 13 games? You know, I mean, come on. It's like these guys, I can't take less than the market value, and I can't give them a team-friendly deal. Oh, yeah, you can, because guess what? You just pocketed $70 million over the past in this 3 years. And even, I'll give you a basketball analogy. Mm-hmm. Charles Barkley has even come out and said recently, when is it enough for these athletes? Like when is it truly
it's easy,
enough?
Logo, it's easy for him to say that because they was getting lowballed back in the day. These TV contracts, man, have blown things out the water.
Well, yeah, they have. But think about this for a second. The dude's sitting there saying that it's not about money, but it is about his number or whatever. The guy's about to start possibly paying $50,000 a day, Linnell, a day in fines. You know what, Linnell? You know what I could use $50,000 right now?
I'm telling you.
You know,
I'd have. I'd be like the Godfather, Athan.
Well, you'd be down on U Street with the Howard Honey.
Look! I'd be letting it'd be raining everywhere.
You street Howard Honeys with you. Yeah, I know.
Let me let you go. I got a couple more rolling in. I appreciate you as always, man. This has been a night. What would I do with 50,000 large metal, Chris?
A day.
Oh, a day. I'm just thinking
that's
about
the fine.
Period.
Yeah. Whew. Get some new tattoos.
I know you would. I know you would probably tat it head to toe. 1-800-636-1067. Kenny, Brian, Sean. The other Brian. If you're on the line, stay there. We're taking a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get to you. This is The Fan. One 800-636-1067 is the number. You tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. Taking up the 10 o'clock. About 15 minutes left to go. We'll run through a couple of calls. And then we'll put a bow on this thing as we get ready to hand you over to our guy, Bart Winkler in the Infinity Sports Network. Wizard Summer League basketball coming your way in about 20 minutes as well on ESPN. If you missed the start of the last segment, I'm a little disappointed. The Wizards holding out prominent pieces out of the Summer League game. No Bub Carrington, no Keyshawn George, no Alex Saar, no Trey Johnson, no Will Riley. Don't understand it at all. I really don't know. If you say you're trying to build good habits? Why would you duck a clear opportunity to build good habits, man? I just don't agree. 1-800-636-1067. Kenny is in Suitland. Wants to chime in. What's going on, Kenny?
What's going on, my man? How you doing tonight?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
No complaints at all. Thanks for taking my call.
For sure.
Just going to comment on two things. One on the Wizards. I 100% agree with you. Especially Bub and Shaw. They need to work.
Yes, if you're about to ask Bub to be your lead guard next year, don't you think he needs every rep possible playing point guard? I don't give a damn
exactly,
if it's summer league.
Exactly. And if you notice some of the young talent that he plays the same position, like Keyshawn and a couple other guys, them guys have a little accurate shot. Bub still needs a little work on his mid-range.
Man, I ain't gonna lie. Hey, Kenny, you know, I appreciate everybody, but I'm gonna correct you when I gotta correct you. His that jumper of his is silky smooth. I think that's what he is moving for. I don't even think he's a natural point guard. I think he's a two guard, and they're trying to force him to play point.
I just think his consistency. He just needs the reps. He needs the reps.
Exactly.
You're right. The whole team needs it. And as far as the Commanders, you know, I have an unpopular view on it. I'm a diehard Commander skin fan. We got to think, we're looking at all this inside. You know, as far as business, Terry wasn't their man from the get-go. And Terry screams, you know, he didn't play a couple years in college. We got to realize the reason why he didn't get that rep, he had a little issues with mid-range routes.
Yeah.
And right now, he still has issues. He could take a top off of defense. But if you notice, remember the comment in week 4 or 5, Scary Terry was saying, no, I'm not getting frustrated. You know, me and Dane's going to get in the same page.
Mm-hmm.
They had to figure the playbook out so he can get off the top all his plays.
Yeah, see, I think he's a total complete receiver. I don't necessarily agree with that notion, but I do get your point. Like, felt like a lot of his damage last year was done over the top, and I can agree with that. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take another quick timeout. When we come back, we'll put a bow on things next on The Fan. One final segment left to go before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Bart Winkler loading in the chamber for you. He'll take you from 10 to 2 a.m. Eastern time here locally on 106.7 The Fan. You can check me out on the Infinity Sports Network as well. It's been a 10 to 2 a.m. Sunday bit for your boy. It's been a lot of double duty for me on the weekends. I'll be 10 to 1 in the afternoon here locally, and then I take the party nationwide 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday. So definitely have enjoyed doing that. If you haven't watched, man, two things for you to watch. You need to watch Terry McLaurin on YouTube, the 32-minute presser from yesterday. NBC4 has it. WSA9 has it. And then somehow, somewhere, and I got to find a way to play it back and watch it my damn self. Shane Gillis at the ESPYs. Absolute brilliance. And I know people get soft nowadays, man. I see people, you know, say, oh, the jokes are insensitive. This and that and that. Kiss it. The jokes aren't insensitive. This is what happens when you get a dog out there, man. I really feel like this is one of the best ESPYs ever, and I hope that we can go back and watch this opening monologue. ESPN will probably put it out, unless they're scary. And I never knew the worldwide leader to be scary, so maybe they will. 1-800-636-1067. Brian and Groombud, I've been waiting for a minute to get to. I wanted to close the show with this because I think we have a little bit of a disagreement. You think Terry McLaurin's only worth $20 million per?
We have a big disagreement.
What's up, B? What's going on?
Look, it's Mike Evans, not a Hall of Famer. You know this.
Okay.
So now we talking about, like, I mean, I'm hearing you, dog. And okay. You trying to tell me that Terry's better than T. Higgins, which he might be. Career to career, but at this point in time, Higgins getting 28 per. He getting 41 cash, you know, guaranteed.
Uh-huh.
Mike getting 35 guaranteed. I'm like this. We love Terry, yes, but T. Terry wasn't even born the last time we had a Super Bowl around here. Well, I'm 50. I'm dead at double Terry age. I feel sorry for Terry, but I ain't feeling that sorry for Terry because Terry is a multimillionaire. And I know Terry got to speak up for his money and try to get it while it's hot.
Yeah.
Right?
And I,
I'm just trying to say, as a fan base, let's be real. We want to win. We on the side of winning. Yep. We ain't on nobody's side of win.
And that's the and look, Brian, that's the tough part that people don't always get. I love Terry as much as the next man, but I root for what's on the front of the jersey more times than not. Especially now that that rat faced bastard Dan Snyder isn't here. I can actually get behind the product.
Yeah, I got a feeling that some of these jokers calling up here, they giving me that same vibe that I'm leaving. I'm not with this team anymore because of this or that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, dog, so you want to give Terry the highest contract in the league and rather lose? I'm like, Terry, you got to go ahead and take the middle. You take that T. Higgins contract, Terry, because guess what? Mike Evans only getting 20 per, 35 guaranteed, Terry. And Mike Evans' stats are identical.
It's not about the stats, though, when it comes to why Mike got that deal, yo. Mike Evans, what, 32? 33? Right?
32.
He turns 32 August 21st. I think that's why he got lowball. And if I was Mike Evans, think about what Mike Evans did last year. One, he barely eclipsed 1,000 yards. And Terry's numbers over time are comparable to his. Now, the touchdown numbers, Mike Evans is a touchdown machine. That's where the difference is with this. But I hear what you're saying.
How did we feel? How did we feel going into that game against Tampa? Everybody was
worried about Mike.
Out of Mike Evans going to that game. Oh, we got to stop Mike Evans no matter what.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So Mike Evans still got that pull, and people go, oh, like Terry, he's younger than Evans, but we sound like.
Oh, my gosh. Breaking news. Breaking news. Breaking news. We did it. Hey. Clip this off and send it to Lou DiPietro. Von Miller expected to sign with the Washington Commanders. Isn't that some big-time news? Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow, Von Miller.
Why? Von Miller to the Commanders. Isn't that something? Wow.
Hang up on that. No.
Hang up on that. No, hot damn. Wow. Wow.
Who's reporting that?
That's Adam Schefter. Von Miller to the Commanders via Adam Schefter. Wow. Welcome to D.C., legend. Are you kidding me? Von Miller, baby. I could get on board with that. Ooh-wee. I'm excited. This is all I wanted. I've been screaming for Von Miller all offseason. Yes, indeed. Wow. That pass rush, it's got a hell of a lot better. Wow. I should call the ball, see if we need to extend the show tonight, man. That is amazing. Von Miller to the nation's capital. That is a massive, massive addition for Washington. What a night. Guess what we're leading with tomorrow? Von Miller helping this pass rush. 16th all-time in sacks. Wow. It's going to do it, though. Here for this Wednesday night edition of Overtime.
We'd love to talk more. But
we'd love to talk more, but we got to go. I'm back with you tomorrow, 6:30 to 10, right here on The Fan. And I guess we'll be talking a little bit about Von Miller. Have a good night, everyone.